darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yeah, it's Mysterious Friday in Central Florida. As we now know that the Malaysian airliner is now on an island where time seems to be bent and cloudy monsters shake the trees. A black hole punched through the temporal vortex. The 777 is the land of the CNN leprechauns, but not the world of the American Adversaries of Reality. At Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. I'm Lair Adams. And this is what you get when you watch too much TV and don't get enough of our host, Christopher Hart.
No, that's what you get when you listen to liberals, a bunch of nonsense. But that's not what you're going to get here tonight, folks. That's right. Thank you so much, Lair Adams. We are...
It could be Chris.
We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time. We are on AM 660, The Answer. And yes, indeed, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Hope you folks had a chance to come out and meet Dr. Krauthammer last night at Barnes & Noble over there on East Colonial Drive. I did get by there, as did Marshall Polston and a few of our listeners. I appreciate you folks coming by there. And it was a great time. He spoke before he did the book signings. And then when they signed the books, they allowed everyone, you got to sit down next to him. He chatted with you for a few seconds there. Got to get your photograph with him. He got your book signed. And, yes, he does sign books. He has some motion.
Okay.
He can move his upper body back and forth, twist it. And of course, he can move his head and neck. And he can move his arms. He just can't move his fingers. So they basically have an adapter for his pen, put it in his hand. And then by moving his arm, he signs the book. And I'll tell you this. I've been to many a book signing and gotten many a book signed by people from Glenn Beck to Sarah Palin and all of them. And his is the most legible of them all.
Even Jimmy Carter?
Even Jim Carter.
All right. Let me ask you this, Chris.
Who told me I could call him Jimmy?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Chris. My one question is to you, because I haven't been... We were near him at the Republican National Convention, but not that close as you were. What about his breathing? Is it assisted in some way? Okay.
No.
All right.
No, it's just like you see him on television, except he has a little bit more emotion. And he did speak.
Okay.
And I sat down and we chatted. And, of course, he remembered our interview. And it was a very pleasant evening. And I just hope you folks got a chance to get by there. And Nostradamus told me something today I did not know. I was under the assumption, incorrect assumption, that this was part of a book tour. In essence, it kind of is, but the book tour is only one stop a month. So this is a pretty big deal last night, folks. If you got his autograph, it's not going to be, one of a million. It's going to be one of a relatively few. So hope you got a chance to get by, and if you didn't, at least go by and get his book. It's an excellent book, and you'll be delighted that you get it.
Chris, I've got to interject here. You just opened me up to a question I never thought of before.
What's that?
Is America ready for the first, well, no, I was going to say the first seriously handicapped president, but no, I guess Roosevelt.
Yeah, we already had one. They just didn't tell anybody. All right, before we get going really here, we want to talk. Well, that's the truth. They didn't tell anybody how bad he was.
Oh, I thought you meant talk about somebody else.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, we've got a few mental cripples in the White House right now. But speaking of mentals, we want to talk about some, let's just say, mind-numbing things, because we're going to talk about Common Core today. We have Steve Gushoff with the Liberty Council in the studio with us.
He loves it, I'm sure.
Steve, thanks for coming down today.
Thanks for having me again, guys. Great to be here.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Dr. Ken Vieheck a little bit later on. Of course, you know it's Predators Friday, and the Predators are playing tonight at the CFE Arena at UCF, and you can still get tickets there. And they're going to be playing the LA Kiss, and they had a big victory last week, and hopefully they'll pull it off again tonight and really get this season on a roll.
Is that game time at 7:30?
Okay. 7:30 game time, but they have festivities going on before the game, so get on out there. And also, and Steve's going to tell us about an event that's going on tomorrow during the day, but now tomorrow night, I'd like as many folks of you who are available, and you can come out tomorrow night, to come to the Orlando International Airport, Southwest Airlines arriving flight at 9 o'clock to welcome home the Space Coast Honor Flight, which has been sponsored by our dear friend Colonel Danny McKnight and his wife Linda. And they're going up tomorrow, and they'll be coming back tomorrow night. That's tomorrow night, Southwest Airlines, 9 o'clock at the Southwest Airlines terminal at OIA. And that's to welcome home the Space Coast Honor Flight. And anytime we can get out and show these guys some appreciation, of course, we need to do that. Steve, tomorrow, the Operation Education Conference, what, where, why, and how?
Absolutely. It's a big education-related conference tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. at Eastland Baptist Church. And as you said, Chris, the name of it is the Operation Education Conference. How education reforms are attacking America's foundation. That's kind of the slogan for the conference. And again, it begins tomorrow at 10 a.m. It runs till about 5 p.m. at Eastland Baptist Church, 9000 Lake Underhill Road in Orlando. The featured speaker is someone that probably several of your listeners have heard of, David Barton of Wall Builders. David Barton is tremendous. And for people that aren't familiar with him, David Barton, what he does is he's written books and does a lot of speaking engagements where he talks about the faith of the founding fathers and the role that the Judeo-Christian faith played in the foundation of this nation and really how we're going far and far away from it today. And so David Barton of Wall Builders will be the featured speaker tomorrow. Other speakers are going to include Senator Greg Evers. He filed the Senate bill in Florida against Common Core, Representative Debbie Mayfield, Representative Charles Van Zandt, Randy Osborne from the Florida Eagle Forum, Laura Caruso from Florida Family Policy Council. That's John Stemberger's council.
Group.
I'll be speaking on behalf of Liberty Council. It's a free event. There's no cost. If you want more information, sign up. You can go to OperationEducationFL.org. Again, OperationEducationFL.org. For more information about the event. And it's an important event. You know, it's in terms of you see what's happening with Common Core and the way that the federal government is really just trying to take over education. And when I look at Common Core, I basically look at Common Core as Obamacare for education.
Well, most definitely.
Steve, I can't be the devil's advocate here. I'm sorry. But, sir, you're just talking about the government is trying to protect our children. They're trying to protect our children against the wrong way of thinking here. Now, guys like you come along here, and why is your way any better?
Why is our way any better? Again, it's just the same way that, that government wants to help you with health care as well. And so if you like Obamacare, you'll love Common Core. It's the same thing. It's Obamacare for education. And so tomorrow, you know, at this conference, we're going to be discussing that. Basically, the way that what the government is doing, if they get away with Common Core, is basically stripping away the authority that parents and local officials have over their children's education. They're going to allow lots of data mining. The federal government will have an open door into all sorts of information about parents and children, and it's going to jeopardize children's futures. Look, we already spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in every single classroom all across the United States, and it's gotten us nothing in terms of educational standards.
Now, it's part of the purpose of this conference to educate people more about Common Core. or is part of the purpose, or is also part of the purpose of the conference to educate people as to what to do about Common Core?
Well, it's both. It's absolutely both both sides of the street in terms of educating them about Common Core and the perils of it, and also how to become activist against it. When I'm speaking tomorrow, you know, if, for instance, I'm speaking in the afternoon, and I'm going to be speaking about religious freedom in public schools, because one of the things that we do at Liberty Council is that we educate and mobilize teachers and students and school administrators and school board members about their rights and privileges in public schools, because people think all the time, oh, if you're a Christian, you can't do anything in public schools. You're muzzled, and you can't even sing a single Christmas carol at a Christmas pageant. Well, that's wrong. That's false. There's so much misinformation and disinformation and even bullying out there against Christians in public schools. So we at Liberty Council, we fight for the rights of teachers and students, Christian teachers and students in public schools. So we'll be addressing that well as Common Core tomorrow.
So to be clear, much of the movement out of the public schools of Christianity and Christian principles has not been a legal issue as much as it's been a political correctness issue.
Well, I think it's both, but you're probably right in terms of, you look at the movement towards homeschooling and the increase in students going to Christian schools and other private schools. And part of the reason is that there is, you know, there has been an attitude in public schools against Christianity. And so Christian students are bullied. They're told time and time and again that that they can't meet, for instance, to pray at the flagpole, or they're not allowed to form a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group or a CEF Good News Club.
Or the coach can't pray with a group before
a
game.
They're told all these things that they can't do when, in fact, they can do all of those very same things. So we educate them about
all right,
that.
Real quickly, I see we have a caller here who would like the Liberty Council phone number.
The Liberty Council phone number.
For donations, yeah.
Wow, that's even better. The phone number is 1-800-671-1776. Again, 1-800-671-1776. And you also can go to our website at lc.org. That's lc.org.
Now, Steve, the really enigmatic about this thing to me is Common Core, really, when you think about it, is anti-flexibility and kind of anti-growth, isn't it? I'm just like saying, we have the end all.
No, I would say you got it backwards. It is total flexibility because it's not based in any way on reality. It's all relative. Like they want to teach.
Well, no, it's someone's idea more than anybody else's. It's this idea. Before we had the states that had different forms, this is a way to take everything over. So no matter what the states, no matter what different people believe, Common Core is the common anti-flexibility, anti-any other thought.
Well, I think you're both right. It's an inflexible flexibility by the government, where the government is going to install national standards. They want to have the same standards from here to California and back, and they think it's a one-size-fits-all sort of deal that's going to, you know, affect everyone. It hasn't worked. Look at the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're spending in every single classroom, you know, right now, these days, and, you know, we spend more and more money on education these days, and we're getting poorer and poorer results, and we're only going to get even more poor results if this goes through.
Well, and it's idea of what's right for everybody, you know, as opposed to what could be wrong for everybody.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, folks, if you'd like to join us, 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget, Honor Flight, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Southwest Airlines, OIA, welcome them home. We will see you there. I hope we'll be right back.
Yes, this is the Killer BB, Brian Blair, and I love the American Adversaries with Lair, Chris, Nostradamus on AM 660, The Answer. So, yes.
All right, we are back, folks, and welcome once again to the American Adversaries Drive Time, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. 407-774-8255 is our number. We are on AM 660, The Answer. And when it comes to Common Core, you'll find the answers tomorrow at Operation Education Conference. That's going to start at 10 a.m., and it's going to be at the Eastland Baptist Church. That's 9000 Lake Underhill Road. Just get on Lake Underhill Road, go to you find Eastland Baptist Church, 10 o'clock, featured speaker David Barton. And you're going to be talking a lot about Common Core and other educational issues there. And folks, this is where you're going to want to be if you want to know more about this issue and where it may be heading here in Florida. Now, it was supposedly a done deal all over the country, but now it's sort of being revisited, isn't it, in state houses and legislatures across the nation, including Florida?
It absolutely is, because people, as they learn more and more about it, again, they see that this is just Obamacare being done, you know, with regard to education. So you see that even here in Florida, there's already been a House bill and a Senate bill, too, that have been proposed to really clamp down on what Common Core wants to do. And it's a controversial issue because, of course, Governor Scott favors Common Core, as does Jeb Bush, who may be running for president in 2016. And I think
even that, Bill Bennett.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because even if you turn on Fox News, you'll see that on Fox News now, there's all sorts of ads by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce promoting Common Core. And so they're reaching out to people that they think are conservative.
Exactly. They're doing that. But I wouldn't necessarily accuse Fox of anything other than taking the money in that
Correct.
Case and being just profit motivated. But you mentioned both Jeb Bush and Rick Scott. And for both of these men, this is probably going to be a political liability.
I think, you know, in the case of Governor Scott in particular, because obviously he's, you know, in a tight, tight reelection campaign against Charlie Crist. I mean, the race is basically tied at this point. And, you know, Governor Scott, and people have to remember, I mean, he barely won. In 2010, he won by about 60,000 votes total out of maybe 5 million or 6 million votes cast. It was a very close race against Alex Sink. And part of the reason that he won was because of the great turnout by Tea Party activists,
yes.
social conservatives,
sure.
all those sorts of folks who now are opposed to Common Core. And if he sticks to his guns and continues to support Common Core, the peril that he runs is that these folks are either going to stay home or are going to vote Libertarian or a write-in candidate or independent. And that 60,000 vote margin that he won by last time, I mean, perish the thought that Charlie Crist gets back into office. But it could swing that way based on this one issue.
What if they both go for Common Core and Agenda 21?
If they both go for it, then I think you're going to see the Libertarian Party benefit from that. The Libertarian Party candidate, Adrian Wiley's his name, excuse me. He's anti-Common Core. I've heard him speak. And you may see conservatives who vote for him. And that could be, again, to Rick Scott's peril. It's a serious, serious issue for him to continue to embrace this issue.
He
so
needs
many people
every
are
vote.
Against it.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, part of his excuse is, well, they already took the federal money, so we're stuck.
Yeah, but wonderful. So you take the federal money, and that's the reason why most states are doing it. I mean, Florida and New York are getting, I don't know, $700 million. California, I think it's over $1 billion. But that's the reason to basically give away your children's education? I mean, sake of money?
As far as I'm concerned, they could take a little bit of the surplus for this year and give that money back and tell the feds what they can do with it, because you're absolutely right. We're talking about the future of our children here.
And Chris, to your point, aren't they really talking about, oh, well, now we'll adjust it. We'll change it for we'll throw in there that we can change it. You had mentioned this the other day.
What they do is they say, oh, well, you can control this at the local level.
Yes.
Well, that's just a bunch of BS, because the standards aren't set at the local level.
They're trying to sweeten the pot at this point because they see how much opposition there is to it. But, you know, what people don't understand is that this is all-encompassing Common Core. It's not just, you know, quote-unquote educational standards. They're going to be able to store every student's personal information, whether it's academic, whether it's medical, whether it's behavioral or home situation. There may be a situation where they don't like the situation at home, and they could take kids out of a home. Possibly, based on the information they have. Again, it's like Obamacare.
It's public record.
Because it's a public record. Just like Obamacare, basically, is going to have all of your health records.
Yeah. And of course, their excuse is, when you like, say, Jeb Bush, what in the world are you thinking? He says, oh, well, this is going to be the education. This is going to be the way of the future. This is how we have to prepare our children for the economy of tomorrow. And I scratch my head and I think to myself, okay, who built the computers and who got us where we are today? Was it people educated by Common Core? No, it wasn't. And when you go back even a little bit further, like when I was in high school, kids were still walking around with slide rules in their pocket. You still had to do calculations. Look at the miracles we did without Common Core.
Well,
and now they're going to come along and tell us that there's no way we can survive in the future without this crap?
And what our show's based on, tyranny is tyranny, no matter which side is pushing it down someone's throat.
Look, here's the deal. You know, even before we talk about the future, let's talk about today. Right now, as we speak, the United States of America is ranked 17th worldwide in reading. among its students, 17th worldwide in reading. The USA is ranked 21st in science, and we're ranked 26th in math internationally. Let's all chant it together. We're number 26. We're number 26.
Whoopee!
So that's what the Department of Education and all of government oversight at a federal state level has gotten us right now. 17th, 21st, and 26th.
Steve, we've got to spend more money.
Here's a prediction. If Common Core does get implemented in 5 years, those numbers are going to be at least 10 worse than they are now.
We've got to spend more money,
guys. In other
words,
instead of 17th, it'll be 27th. Instead of 26th, it'll be 36.
They'll all be in the 30s. Yeah.
That's
right.
Let's throw some more money on it.
It follows the trend. You throw more money on it, you get worse results. That's all
it
is.
Throw more money. Come on, more.
Because they can't understand that to educate a child, all you have to do is start with the basics. And if you don't start with the basics, you're not going to educate a kid. I don't care how hard you try.
It's simply more governmental oversight. And that's why more people are leaving the public schools. Because the one way, there's two ways that people can fight against Common Core more than anything else. Number one, don't vote for politicians that support it. That's real easy to do. Support politicians that are against it. As well, take your kids out of public schools. Put them in private schools, homeschool them, because that's the only way that they're going to feel the effect. Absolutely, it's tough. There are financial sacrifices to be made, time sacrifices. But if the government and the schools see that people are taking their children out of public schools to protest Common Core, they're going to get the message. Because you're right, this is about dollars and cents.
Operation Education Conference, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Eastland Baptist Church, 9000 Lake Underhill Road. It's a free event. Get on over there. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to OperationEducationFL.org. That's OperationEducationFL.org. It's an all-day event, so come on over and be prepared for that. And did you know that Jeb Bush has invited Hillary Clinton, of all people, to speak at his education conference in Texas tomorrow? Do you suppose they'll be exploring the disadvantages of Common Core?
Was Bill and Chelsea not available? So Hillary's pinch hitting? I mean, I don't understand that.
I guess
that.
They're going to split up because Bill, Chelsea, and Hillary were all together today for a dedication of some global conference.
Is this his entrance into Jeb Bush will never be president world or something here?
Well, I know that Jeb Bush, he introduced Hillary at an event. She received an award in New York City, I don't know, a few months ago when he introduced her. And so I guess this is her way of saying thank you at this point. But, boy, that could come back to haunt him in 2016 as well.
Well, I wonder if...
He's not up there for them.
I think that he's not planning to run for president.
I agree.
I think that what he's doing is he's getting out there trying to be a player, and that this is the way he can be a player. And I've been convinced for a long time that he's going to run for president for one reason. His wife. His wife does not like political life.
Never has.
Period. No way, no how. She could get by with that in Tallahassee where the media would leave her alone. You can never get by with that in Washington, D.C.
Columba's a stately woman, but she doesn't want to be in there.
She doesn't want any part of it, and he loves her. And he wants to be a player, and that's what he's doing right now. Speaking of players, we got Nostradamus who's going to join us when we come back, and we'll also be talking a little Pred football later on because they are playing tonight against the L.A. Kiss, and we got a lot more to go. And please come out tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Southwest Airlines arriving flight to welcome back the Space Coast Honor Flight, sponsored by our dear friend Colonel Danny McKnight and his wife Linda.
And you better go out there and support the Predators and knock those guys in the kisser. This is the American Adversaries Drive Time, of course, Monday through Friday. Don't forget Sunday night. You got us for 3 hours. But we're coming up with news, so please do not go away. And Nostradamus is on board.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Hi, this is Chris Hart. Ted will be back with us Monday. Folks, I just want to give you a little taste of the flavors that you'll find on SoundbiteRx.com today. You know, President Obama's been going around the country, including right here in Orlando yesterday, spewing all this hot air about income inequality and stuff. But let me just tell you a little bit about one of his advisors and big donors. Have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of David Shaw and his wife, Beth Koblenur? They are big-time donors to the Democratic Party. Shaw is also a computer scientist who serves on President Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. His wife, Beth, is a member of the Advisory Council on Financial Capability for the administration. What's the big deal about all that? Oh, not such a big deal about all that, but what's the big deal about them and income inequality? The guy's a billionaire. He's worth over $4 billion. Well, I don't take that away from him, except that now he's being extravagant with his wealth, shall we say. He's putting it in everybody's face. He's moved into a town in New York, a small town, and what he has done is he has bought four properties in Hudson View, and he has proceeded to build a 30,000-square-foot modern-day mansion with multiple sides, a Pentagon-shaped master bath. And what's the big deal about this? Well, it's only going to cost $40 million, and it's only going to dwarf all the other houses in the township. Yeah, income inequality, yeah, it's a bad thing unless, of course, it's your guy doing it. And, of course, they're paying big money for this, and the city council loves it. Why? Because he's going to be paying $1 million a year in property tax. So I guess that's the silver lining to the cloud for the folks in Hipsterbia, New York, as they're calling it now. Okay, folks, you'll find that and a whole lot more at SoundbiteRx.com. Go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
AM 660.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. We have Steve Grishaw of Liberty Council in the studio with us. Don't forget to catch, if you can, tomorrow morning, Operation Education Conference, 10 a.m. kickoff at Eastland Baptist Church on East Lake Underhill Drive in Orlando. And it is free. To find out more, you can go to OperationEducationFL.org. And now we also have online with us our executive producer Nostra Dennis. So let's bring him into the conversation. Nostra Dennis.
Hey, what was that sound? But what was that town in upstate New York you talked about in Soundbite Minute?
Well, let me pull that back up here. I used the slang name for it. Hipsterbia is what some of the locals
call
it.
I thought you said that.
let me see here. Hastings on Hudson, New York.
Oh, ritzy. I thought you called it Disturbia, because it's disturbing me. You said it's got a Pentagon-shaped bathroom?
Yes, and, like, it was a weird-shaped house. It has, like, 12 sides to the house.
Is it a Pentagon-sized bathroom?
It might just as well be.
My goodness.
You know, income inequality, it's okay when the libs flash it around, but you better not be a conservative and do that.
Oh, that's funny. That's just funny. That's all I can say.
All right, Nostra Dennis, you've got some thoughts on the Common Core. I mean, are you glad your children just graduated? I mean, they're now out of high school and college. You don't have to mess with that.
I really am, but to be honest, as conservative as I am, both of them turned out just about as liberal as you could get. So I don't know that Common Core would have been much worse on my kids.
Wait. Now, Dennis, it can change. My daughter, same way. And then Eve, you know when she changed? In college. She went from liberal to conservative through college.
That's because she went to college in Arizona.
No, it was a liberal college, but she just started saying nonsense. It was like, how can you feel that way? It doesn't make any sense. That's what got her, Chris. It didn't make any sense.
You know why a lot of college students are going from liberal to conservative these days? Because they can't find a job when they graduate.
Oh, Marxism won't give them a job?
Who'd have thunk it, huh?
Was that Dennis?
There's some other milestones that can make you get real conservative real quick. One is getting married. One is having a child.
Yep.
And one is getting that full-time job and then looking and seeing the difference between the gross and the net. That can make you real conservative real quick.
Another thing that can make you conservative real quick is Obamacare. That's for sure. All right. Garry Kasparov. I think we mentioned him the other day.
Chessmeister.
Yeah, and he's got a few more choice words about this game, if you will, going on between Vladimir Putin and our beloved president.
Yeah, we were talking about the chess game that Putin is playing with Obama, and I surmised that Obama's playing checkers while Putin is playing chess. I almost mentioned Garry Kasparov by name. He, of course, is the great grandmaster who is...
beat a computer a couple times.
Bobby Fischer. Right. Bobby Fischer was his big opponent in the U.S., and then he beat Deep Blue in chess, the IBM computer, a couple times. Kasparov, though, right now is chairman of the Human Rights Foundation, which is based in New York, and he says that all Putin cares about. Well, this is the headline of the story is, it's time to stop Putin. And he says that all Putin cares about, we should believe him because he knows the man, is what will affect him and his hold on power. Sanctions, other measures like that, don't really mean very much unless they threaten to take any power away from him. And that's why Kasparov is calling out Secretary of State John Kerry for saying, we hope President Putin would recognize, let me do my best John Kerry, that what we're saying is not meant as a personal threat. It's not meant in any personal way. Well, that's really all that's going to affect Putin is if we attack him in a personal way.
Well, not only that, but the sanctions betray that lie because all the sanctions are aimed in a very personal way. I mean, they're aimed at individuals, not the nation, and they're aimed at individuals close to Vladimir Putin. The guy that he does karate with. I mean, come on, that's just ridiculous.
And what about the message that was sent to the Russians here, Chris? You know, here not too, how many months ago where, you know, there'd be more flexibility here. It's like, hey, we're going to go your way. I mean, to me, you handed them the invitation.
Our Gumby-like president, for sure.
Oh, he's bad now, Chris. Come on. He's bad.
Yeah, in his mind, he is. And that's the danger. And Dr. Krauthammer talked about this a little bit on our show the other day.
Yep.
And by the way, if you missed that interview, folks, you can find it on our archive at SoundbiteRx.com.
Man, it's brilliant.
Did I say Soundbite? I mean at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. But he talked about last night how both John Kerry, you know, and the president, like John Kerry is going around saying, you know, this type of aggression doesn't occur in the 21st century. Well, you doofus, it just did. I mean, you cannot be more in a world of fantasy than that, and that's the danger. That is the actual danger with these fellas, Obama and Kerry and Clinton to a certain extent, although Clinton is starting to talk a little bit more sense now she's not in the administration, is that they actually believe this stuff that they preach, and that's very dangerous. Dennis?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I had a big stamp collection. I was really into collecting U.S. stamps. And there was a great series of colorful stamps that had the flags of Albania and Poland and Czechoslovakia. And all I knew was they were pretty stamps. I didn't realize they were the dozen nations that were occupied and annexed by the Germans in World War II. I fear there's another stamp collection in our future.
Hey, you know, I collected stamps for a while when I was a kid, too. But it was mainly because there was this cute redhead who did it as well. So.
What do you call that? What do you call that, Chris?
Going after a cute redhead.
No. A person that collects coins is a numismatist. What's a stamp collector?
Oh, I used to remember the name. I used to know the name.
Philatelist.
Philatelist.
That's
yes.
It. Philatelist.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it,
Philatelist.
Steve.
Philatelist. Okay. All right. Nostradamus, yesterday we talked about this reporter in Phoenix, CBS affiliate, who had gotten a tour of the White House and, you know, gotten the treatment by Jay Carney and came out saying that Carney told her that much of the time that the questions were submitted ahead of time for the daily news conference and that the answers were often, submitted ahead of time for the daily news conference. What's happened in the last 24 hours?
Yes, Phoenix News anchor Catherine Anaya has said, I wasn't really correct. That was my mistake. I didn't really mean that. Now, let me translate what she really means. I was told that if I wanted to keep on working in this business, I would have to walk back what I said yesterday.
Yeah, and it was sad because the way she walked it back was basically to say, in so many words, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess... whoever hires her or keeps her on has got a journalist, you know, who doesn't know what they're doing. What does that say for the station?
Exactly. And Dennis, I believe in a journalist talk, we can translate that to mean, right?
Yes. Yeah. How do you spell that, Larry?
Yeah.
Well, the thing, though, is, and there's a saying, and Steve, am I correct in this, in law, that, you know, you can't unring a bell.
You can't unring a bell, correct.
And that bell has been rung, and it is out there.
Well, it's funny, you know, Rush Limbaugh was commenting on this today after he saw her being so repentant, and he wondered if the Obama administration had waterboarded her or tortured her.
Oh, she's got lash marks on somewhere on her body.
No, what they did was they gave her the guilt trip of a lifetime, buddy. And but she is recanting, but the story's out, and she was right. She was being truthful yesterday. She just blurted it out, and it was an act of unprofessionalism. There's no question about that, because evidently it was told to her off the record, but bless her heart for saying it, because all she did was confirm all of what we already knew anyways. And
I question whether, you know, Chris, I honestly think nobody told the girl. I think they honestly were saying, okay, you needed this, you needed that, and nobody came and said, oh, by the way, don't tell anybody we told you that. Well, and I think she kind of very naively was like, well, hey,
supposedly
they told
she
me.
Said that she was told this off the record.
So, that's where the controversy comes in.
Well,
yes.
The bottom, you got two issues here. I mean, should she have said it or not? It disclosed, you know, something she was told in confidence. That's one issue. The other issue, which is the one I choose to focus on, is that she was telling the truth. What we're getting out of the White House press corps is nothing but what, you know, the talking points coming straight from the White House. And that's nothing new.
But it goes to the point that you guys make on the show all the time. It's scripted. It's more political professional wrestling.
Exactly. It's the scripted storyline.
Exactly.
And this isn't the first example that we've had of this sort of thing.
But in a conversation, putting your hand up to your mouth is not the same as saying off the record. And that's where I kind of wonder if anybody ever said that. I think they were just kind of figuring she would understand. Come on, you doofus.
No.
Yeah, you don't do that.
I'm
you know?
Sure they told her this is off the record and thought that it would have been kept off the record. All right, Nostradamus.
I was looking at a video retraction of Miss Anaya's remarks.
Yep.
And I was looking for the telltale signs, like the fingers crossed or something deliberately mispronounced or misspelled, like POWs used when they're captured.
Like if she was blinking her eyes a lot.
Yeah.
Couldn't find anything.
All right. You had one other story about the press there.
Yeah, this is from Investors Business Daily. Headline of this one is President to Press to Obama. Thank you, sir. May I have another? This week, they report two things happened that should have sent reporters into a frenzy of outrage. First, reports that the Obama administration has effectively crippled the Freedom of Information Act, despite Obama's promise of unequal transparency. Nearly half of the federal agencies got an F grade for FOIA compliance, according to the Center for Efficient Government.
Steve,
isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah.
Oh, it sure is, isn't it?
Yeah. Steve, does the Liberty Council submit requests for freedom of via the Freedom of Information Act often?
Not often, but it's like, you know, it's funny when they talk about transparency. Look, this administration is as transparent as the fog in San Francisco. And so, you know, it's just you're not going to get any transparency. And it even goes to this prior issue of the journalist from Phoenix who was trying to be transparent and got her knuckles wrapped for it.
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Okay, Nostradamus, anything else for us there?
No, that should do it for the week. See you guys on Sunday night.
Okay, and we got a guest on Sunday night, too.
We do have a guest.
Keisha, you do this to all the
Keisha,
time, Chris.
Again, you got me without my schedule.
All right. This is Keisha. It's Roberts, isn't it? Keisha.
No, Rogers. Is
Rogers.
We are trying to set her up for the 30th, but we already have Greg Gutfeld booked on that date. So I'm trying to work out the scheduling conflict.
Okay.
She will not be with us this Sunday.
Okay. All right. Okay. We got Greg Gutfeld on the 30th. Great work.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. His book, Not Cool, is coming out.
All right. And don't forget, folks, we have Colonel Danny McKnight, who's going to join us next week on Thursday night. And please come out and join us tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at the Southwest Airlines Arriving Terminal, Orlando International Airport, to welcome home the Seminole Honor Flight. Excuse me, did I say Seminole? I mean Space Coast Honor Flight. Space Coast Honor Flight. That's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Southwest Airlines OIA Terminal.
Of course. Thanks so much, Nostradamus. Now, let's talk, folks, about kelp water. Now, we've talked about Roxy Pacifics before. We've had so many so many testimonials of people calling and saying they've cured everything from bug bites, bee stings, jellyfish stings, seborrhea, psoriasis, every skin condition in the world. But the problem is, you need to invest and go ahead and buy some now, because I'm afraid one of these days it's so good a product, they're going to run out. So call this number, 619-654-4829. Because I got to tell you, these guys are making it as fast as they can, but everybody's ordering it. So write that number down, 619-654-4829. Any skin condition, it has to be in your medicine cabinet. That's Roxy Pacifics.
Oh, hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
Ho! All right, folks, I hope you're getting ready to go to see the L.A. Kiss, who have come to town to be defeated by our Orlando Predators.
Yeah. Predators.
And hopefully you're going to get on out there. The game starts at 7:30. Dr. VHEC's been tied up. He's trying to get through, and we'll see if we can spend a few minutes before we get out of here tonight. But before we do, don't forget tomorrow, Operation Education Conference, starting 10 a.m. in the morning at Eastland Baptist Church, 9000 Lake Underhill Road, featuring David Barton as a speaker, and our very own Steve Gushaw will also be speaking. Be a lot about education, Common Core, what to know about it, what to do about it. Be there for that if you can. Now, there is something else coming up Tuesday that Liberty Council has been very closely involved in. It's a pretty big deal. It's going to be happening at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, pretty much anything at the Supreme Court is a big deal, I would have to say. Especially these days. And so on this Tuesday, March 25th, the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing the two Obamacare cases where we seek to invalidate the HHS mandate, the preventive care mandate. Now, there are two separate cases. One involves Hobby Lobby. I think pretty much everyone around here knows Hobby Lobby, the big store. And there's also another company called Conestoga Wood, which was established by Mennonite Christians as well. So you have two cases here, Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood, where you have two corporations, two for-profit corporations. They do exist to make money. They're not ashamed to say so. But both companies were founded by Christian families. And basically, under Obamacare, the Obama administration has enacted these regulations that would compel Christian employers to choose between their sincerely held Christian religious beliefs or face enormous fines that could literally cripple them and put these companies out of business. And so we at Liberty Council, we filed an amicus brief. That's a friend of the court brief in the Hobby Lobby case. We know that this brief has been read by all the Supreme Court justices. Both cases will be argued on Tuesday. It's a two-for-one special. They are separate cases. It's two separate and distinct cases, but the issues are essentially the same, where, again, it's two corporations, for-profit corporations founded by Christian families who are basically saying to the government and saying to Obama, look, Obama, as Christians, we cannot and our companies cannot fund abortion, abortifacients, contraception. This goes against our sincerely held Christian beliefs. And so that's the heart of the issue on Tuesday. I would expect that a decision will come down at the end of June, because that's typically when the decisions come down. So in about 3 months, you know, from now, we'll get a decision. Hopefully the Supreme Court will do the right thing this time, as opposed to what they did in 2012, and that they will basically strike down and invalidate the preventive care mandate so that these corporations don't have to fund abortion drugs, contraceptive devices, contraception, and abortifacients. Because, again, for these companies, it goes against their Christian principles. Because think of it. What are corporations? Corporations are made up of individuals. Individuals have First Amendment rights. And this these rules and regulations that would force these employers and their citizens that work for them to have to fund abortion and abortifacients and contraception violates their right to practice religious freedom. So that's at the heart of these two cases on Tuesday.
All right. Now, a quick question. Some people have been asking me, when is the Supreme Court going to hear the case about the nuns? Well, it actually hasn't even gotten there yet.
It hasn't gotten to the Supreme Court yet, and, you know, I don't know if it will. It probably will. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Where it's a similar sort of case, and frankly, you know, the future of any potential nuns case, the Little Sisters of the Poor out in Colorado we're talking about, may be dependent on what is decided
out of these
this
two
year.
Cases.
Exactly, because it's similar enough where, again, the Little Sisters of the Poor, again, it's a charity, so it's not a for-profit corporation. But again, the Little Sisters of the Poor are arguing that even as a charity, they do not want to have to fund abortion, abortifacients, and contraception. So there is a similarity of issues even with regard to the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Now, Steve, with both of these corporations, are they talking about two different concepts when they're talking about A, funding abortion, or B, funding contraception? Are they two different arguments? Do they go in there with two different arguments, or are they basically saying these two premises that we don't agree with is one argument?
It's all basically one argument where they're kind of lumping them all together.
All right. Folks, we are going to have a very special giveaway coming up, and I can't give you many details about it right now except to say that it's going to be a safe, a huge 600-pound safe, and we'll be giving it away here. Compliments.
Unless I get it first.
Compliments. Well, you may get locked in it if you don't watch out. Compliments of Armstrong Lock and Security right there on North Mills in Orlando. More details to come.
Nobody wants it. I want it.
Keep your ears open. A big
you don't want it. I want
safe.
It.
I'm telling you. This is a beautiful safe, built right here in Orlando by the Heyman Company, Heyman Safe Company. It's called the Everglades Series, and definitely you're going to want to pay attention for this, so keep your ears open. Another thing you're going to want to pay attention to is our next guest, who is none other than Dr. Ken Vihek, owner, co-owner of the Orlando
playing football.
Predators. Dr. Ken, you on your way over to CFE Arena? How you doing?
How are you?
Doing good. How about you tonight?
Oh, man, I'm losing my voice, going crazy already over
Roxy,
here in the arena.
You already there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been down in the bowels of the arena for the last couple hours, man.
So how's the team feel today? Are they up like they were last week?
They are up. They are pumped. They want to kick some butt.
And, you know, the L.A. Kiss being a new team, that they're sort of an unknown quantity, though, aren't they?
They're kind of an unknown quantity, but then again, you know, they got their pick of players throughout the league when they started up. I mean, we all had to put a couple of our team.
They're the new kids on the block.
We know them. You know, we know of them. We may have played against them individually before on different teams. So, you know, it's not that difficult, you know, for us to put the thing together and figure out what they can do. So.
All right.
We just know in our hearts we're better.
All right, and of course the game kicks off at 7:30, but there's stuff going on before the game, right?
Oh, Predfest is in full swing right now. We got the Shriners out there doing all their stuff. We got the Camel out there. We've got little cars and motorcycles, just having all kinds of fun.
And I understand there's going to be a rock band playing there for a while before the game starts.
Yep, they as a matter of fact, they started playing about a half hour ago. That's why I had to go find a quiet place inside to call you.
Well, you know, and speaking of inside, folks, you can go on in the arena. And once you go in the arena, it's open bar in there. And they got, I understand, they got an open, I mean, a full bar, don't they?
Full bar, full liquor.
And Dr. Ken, I got to tell you something, buddy. I think if anybody, you can make Orlando the heart of arena football.
Well, thank you.
No, really. No, I got to tell you, I've never seen anybody fire people up like you can do. So, great job.
I appreciate that.
And Orlando needs this.
I'll be great for that.
We need a winning team, Dr. Ken. Help us.
We're 1-0. We're undefeated right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed the Sentinels perked up a little bit, too.
They're always slow, Chris.
But listen, if people want to come over there tonight, how much are tickets at the gate?
You can get a get-in ticket for $9.
No way.
It's not that expensive. And the beers are even lower than they were at Amway.
That's cheaper than the movies.
Have a great time and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and L.A. Kiss tonight, 7:30 game time. Get on out there and be a part of the Pred Nation, if you will.
Yeah, and you may be able to be on the reality TV show that Gene Simmons is going to have airing next September about the making of the L.A. Kiss arena football team. Because they're here and they're shooting footage, so... Come on out and get on TV.
Is Gene there? Gene Simmons?
Gene's not here. They didn't come in for it this time. They'll probably come in next time.
Well, now did they
film in footage to put on that TV show?
Yeah, okay. But did they ship his tongue in? I mean, that took a boxcar. I heard that.
All right. Thank you, Dr. K. Good luck.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll look forward to seeing you out here.
Absolutely.
You're the man.
All right. So, Preds tonight, 7:30, CFE Arena. You can get in for $9 a pop. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good deal, huh, Steve?
It's a great deal. I didn't have a chance to ask Dr. Ken, but since he owns the Predators and Simmons owns the LA Kiss, I'm wondering if Dr. Ken is wearing white face makeup.
I do know some of the Pred Nation guys who make those masks have made up some special Kissed Predators masks.
Oh, I'll tell you this about Dr. Ken. He uses Roxy Pacifics. He loves it.
All right. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, Operation Education Conference, 10 a.m., Eastland Baptist Church, 9000 Lake Underhill Road.
And tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Southwest Airlines arriving flight, OIA Space Coast Honor Flight. Please be there. Both places.
American Adversaries have wrapped up another week. Can you believe how fast it went? However, we'll start another one Sunday night. You know the time, 5 o'clock. Folks, have
Don't
a great one.
Carl Jackson tomorrow. Marshall Polston. Night, everybody.
AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Communications.